And you're here with Michael Goodrich for the Council Connection Show. And first of all, let's look at the weather. It's been a warm one today, but tomorrow it's cooling off. Let's have a look now. It is top of 22 tomorrow, minimum 14. Friday, max of 27, minimum 10. Saturday, max of 26, minimum of 13. And on Sunday, be a max of 20, minimum 12. All shiny and sunny. What a beautiful summer we have here. And we've got a great show night up today. I've got a few guests on. We've got, later in the show, we'll have Kate from the Yarra Junction Library, talking about what's happening in the library there. We'll have Stacey and Maria from the Seville Community House. But first up, I have a lovely guest here, John Ridley, who wears many hats in his life. And got a few on today. Well, one is for the Warburton Waterwheel. So welcome, John.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we're going to hear you too. Now, I'm going to test your mic and say good morning again, because I think we missed you there.
Oh, sorry. Not close enough to my mic.
That's it. I know now. We're all good. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Good morning. And again, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. Now, people might have heard your name around. You're a bit of infamous around Warburton in the Upper Yarra area. So can you tell us a bit, before you get into Waterwheel, what's your connection to the Upper Yarra? What's your connection to Warburton?
Well, it goes back to 1980 in the recent term, when my late wife and I decided we needed a weekend house.
Yes.
And we both had connections to Warburton, or at least to the Upper Yarra Valley. Trish had often visited with her aunt. My mum grew up at Paltown.
Ah.
Her father, V.H. McLaren, mm-hmm. ran the general stores in Powley and Noogee.
Oh, Noogee as well, yeah.
So, as a youngster, I'd been up this way a lot. And,
yes.
Loved the country and the mountain and the forests.
Yeah, it's a beautiful region, especially out of Powtown and Noogee. There's some gorgeous towns there.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting history. And so you've had lots of engagement, lots of involvement across community those years, but you're currently now involved in the Warburton Waterwheel as well, and
yes.
It's a bit of a really exciting year for the Waterwheel. But you tell us, people might have heard about the Waterwheel or seen it in Warburton with the beautiful steps there. There was a community workshop many years ago and the wheel there. But it tells us a bit about what is the Warburton Waterwheel and a bit of a history around how it came to be.
Well, it started back in 1988 when a group of us helped working with the then Shire of Upper Yarra. It was, mm-hmm. of course, pre-amalgamation. There was no Yarra Rangers Council. We developed, with professional help, a town plan for Warburton and saw the opportunity for more activity on the south side of the highway up towards the old station site.
Yes.
And so the plan specified that there would be a visitor centre,
mm-hmm.
Up there. At that stage, there wasn't another visitor centre in the Shire of Upper Yarra.
Yeah.
There was at Healesville, but not one over our way. So that was the challenge.
And what was on that site then? So we know that the water wheel's there, but it was a lovely grassy hill.
Yes. There were one or two houses which council fortunately snapped up.
Yep.
to make sure the site was available and possible expansion,
mm-hmm.
of the site. But no, there had been a service station down,
yes.
at the highway level, but there was nothing there. So the plan was to build it, and we established a committee, and I think it was the 2nd of April, not the 1st of
okay.
April, the 2nd of April, 89. It was opened by the then Tourism Minister, Louise Asher.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been operating ever since.
Yeah.
I was initially involved in the committee running it, but I had to focus back in Melbourne on developing a business there for a lot of reasons that we don't need to go into here.
Yes.
But, of course, more recently, it's been very well run by a board with a lot of support from Upper Yarra Community Enterprises, the Bendigo Bank.
Yes.
They've been doing a terrific job.
Great support.
With Michelle as the executive officer there. But that support, Bendigo Bank indicated some years ago, would finish this year. In May this year. So it was decided to take a new approach and that council was going to look at a different way of operating.
Mm-hmm.
But what was wonderful, I mean, we were all nervous that council might decide on turning it into commercial space. And what was wonderful was that when a community meeting happened in March last year,
yes,
it was incredibly well attended. About 100 people in the Mechanics Hall.
Absolutely.
All of them very keen to see the Waterwheel Centre, the building stay...
A community space.
As a community
and
space.
Community-led.
With a similar focus.
Yes.
And so a group of us have got together, led by Nikki Murray,
mm-hmm.
and been consulting very widely as we can, and we're still interested in community input.
Yes.
So no one should be discouraged in thinking it's all done and dusted. We still have a lot to learn and a lot of ideas to consider. But... we're heading towards now. Council has given the new group Waterwheel Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Waterwheel Hub Inc.
Water Hub, yes, say. Yes.
A lease, and we'll take over operation of the centre in May, June.
Mm-hmm.
So we really a very strong focus on being a community centre.
Yes.
Over time, we'll hopefully expand its work. We certainly have to work quickly to make it financially viable.
Yes.
Because at the moment, it does depend very much on that support from Bendigo Bank.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to finish. That's quite reasonable. It's been there a long time.
Been a while, yeah. And there's that transition period now of like, and how do we make this sustainable as well?
Exactly.
So you have
exactly.
good income, so you support a lot of creative community members as well, with the shop on there as well, so people sell their wares there, and that's yeah. great benefit for community and for the visitors as well.
Yes.
And the art gallery supporting local artists as well, and just yep. looking at how do you make that potential
that's right.
sustainable.
That's right. And so all of that will continue,
mm-hmm.
But we're looking at a number of other things that we can add. I mean, it's doing well in the sense that it's very close to 1,000 visitors a week.
Yes, in this peak period.
So
yes.
over the whole year, about 45,000 visitors.
Mm.
And the handmakers, the local handmakers who have got product in there, are about $120,000, $130,000 over a year goes back
yes.
to them for the sale of the products that they've been putting in there. So, you know, it's already a strong activity, which is bringing a lot of benefit to the community. It's also a visitor centre, of course, and that's one area we'll look to expand. One of the ideas we're looking very closely at is to run a booking service, use some software and make build the throughput to the website, an enhanced website, I might mm-hmm. say, and offer a booking service to local B&Bs and hotels,
yep.
and potentially booking for
those
lots
experiences.
Of other events as
yeah.
well.
So you see other platforms where you might book accommodation, yeah. so you book an experience, people come to visit Warburton, then they can book through the Waterwheel for their accommodation, but also for those other experiences they want to have and enjoy the region where you live in.
That's exactly right, Michael. And it might be based at Warburton, but our focus is certainly the Upper Yarra and,
yes.
and beyond,
mm-hmm.
Potentially. I mean, there is no other visitor centre in the Yarra Valley, in the Yarra Ranges
no.
Council area. And so we'll be looking at how we can service a wider market as well, both in terms of community and the hospitality business, the tourism business.
Yeah. And it's great to see the history you've just heard of there. Like, it's the idea that community came together all those years ago and said, we want to have a place as a visitor centre, let's yeah. utilise this great space. And it was supported by council, but it was community-led, community-driven, yeah. and it was established by the board there, and now there's a new life of this now becoming incorporated the Waterwheel Hub and continuing this community-led, but obviously you're servicing the visitors, but also, like you said, with $120,000 of sales for the local handmakers, local residents here who are creating beautiful works,
yes,
supporting their businesses, supporting local artists at the gallery. It's a beautiful benefit of sharing and celebrating what's amazing about the Upper Yarra and Warburton area and the community, and allowing this people benefit, and like people come to Warburton and they get a sense of what is Warburton, what is this community, and who are these people who live here, and what are the beautiful things they have to offer and stories to share.
Yes, well, we certainly hope to expand that significantly. Michael, we identified what we've called five pillars for the future of the Waterwheel Hub, and we've used hub very deliberately because we see it as an important hub for all sorts of activities, a community hub. We want to help bring people together.
Yes. Place to connect, place to share.
Yes. And just as another group is doing with the new newspaper, 3799 Connect.
Yes.
Exactly the same.
It's objective. A great newspaper and great initiative to bring those existing communities together and sharing and bring a publication and celebrating what's great and happening in the Upper Yarra.
Yep.
And sharing those stories too.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah, we think it's good too. But the five pillars, first one is sustainability. You know, we've got to make it financially viable, standalone.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be looking for other funding or project funding, mm-hmm. but essentially it's got to
stand on two feet. Yes.
In terms of income. The volunteers have been and will continue to be so important, essential to its operation, and they've done an invaluable work 7 days a week. We'll be looking for more volunteers to spread the load, and we'll be helping them with briefings and familiarisation so that they can help sell the area to the visitors. So tourism, as I mentioned earlier, it's not just about the arts. It's about a tourism information centre as well, and we'll expand that so that we tell people more about the history of the area and arrange visits and walks and so on to help people learn about the fascinating history of the Upper Yarra.
Absolutely. And there's so many great places in the Upper Yarra to visit as well. So people know about the common, like, you know, the Redwood Forest is such a not common thing people know about, but there's like the Lala Falls and the Rainforest Gallery, and there's walks in Powtown. There's so many of these little beautiful places people can go and explore. Beyond just the Thomas Avenue and Redwood Forest.
And we want to link all that together and provide, you know, improve the provision of information about all that so that people realise there's a hell of a lot to enjoy.
Absolutely.
In our part of the world. Arts, culture and heritage will remain extremely important and will expand. We want to add in a better understanding of the Indigenous heritage of the Upper Yarra and this area generally. And finally, of course, very importantly, the environment, which is what a
people
lot of
love
people come up here for.
We come here, people decide to live here and visit here because of this beautiful environment we live in. And so celebrating that and showing that is great.
Yes, and the valley is protected by state government legislation because it's recognised as the lungs of Melbourne.
Yes.
You know, it's where you come to get some fresh air and wonderful scenery and terrific hikes through the forest. So that's very broadly the agenda, Michael.
Yeah. And so people listening, they can think, well, what does that look like as I visit now? And people will see the Warburton Waterwheel as nothing much changed there. It's the same places when you come through the door, the volunteers there, the shops there, the galleries there. Been behind that, you're getting organised to try some new things. So also things might look the same for now and continue on. And all the stuff that's happening at Waterwheel will continue to happen. And in the background, you're getting organised to go, well, let's try some new things and develop that. So in the coming year, you might see some new things coming out of the Waterwheel, new opportunities, new things to share. But also, all the great stuff that's still there will continue to be there as well.
Yes, yes. We're going to hasten slowly.
Yes.
We know.
Strategic.
We know we've got a lot
forward
to learn.
Yes.
There won't be, you know, we're not rushing in there with a whole batch of sudden changes. We'll understand exactly how it's operating now and introduce changes gradually. We've been back to the architects, Cox Partners, who designed the original building.
Yes.
Because at some stage we'll want to look at how it works and whether it can be made more efficient and a bit more relevant to current needs, and possibly even expand, because the idea was that the visitor centre would be a catalyst for further commercial and community development up on the old or around the edges of the old railway station site. But that's a big lump to chew on and requiring more budget than we have at this stage.
Yep, in the future. Yeah. And so people listening, they want to find out more, obviously they can go to the Waterwheel and see the place there. But if they want to jump online or make a phone call and email, where can they get some updates or keep in touch with what's happening at the Waterwheel?
I should have... Oops. I think the best thing, really, is to contact the Waterwheel directly.
Yes.
Or Nicole, our chair. And Nikki, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to give your mobile number.
Well, while you get that, if people want to, you can just jump in your browser, your internet, or your phone, and you just search Warburton Waterwheel, and the top hit there will be the website there, and on there you'll find the local contact number, the opening hours, and where you can go, and email address. Yep. But also, Nikki is now stirring up the new Waterwheel Hub Committee, which is fantastic and a great initiative. And so if you want to contact somebody and have a chat with somebody in person about how to be involved and volunteering or what's happening, you can contact Nikki as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't take over for a couple of months.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're interested in volunteering, and I'd love to encourage that, then get in touch with Michelle, the executive officer. Waterwheel's open 10 till 4, 7 days a week.
Mm.
But if you want to talk to Nikki about the future, her number is 0425 754 493. Probably easiest to start with the Waterwheel if you haven't been there.
Just pop in there, absolutely. 7 days a week, it's fantastic. And so you have the committee, but also have a steering group of broader group of people who are passionate about the Waterwheel, passionate about the local artists and the gallery, and want to help this place thrive and grow for the next 20, 30, 40 plus years as well. Yes. So if you're interested in finding out more what that steering group looks like, or might want to come along and find out how you might be involved, definitely pop down and chat the Waterwheel, and you can find out more as well. So the more the merrier, especially getting more locals involved and supporting and be passionate about this amazing community-led initiative that's been here for generations and will continue for the next generation too.
We're very keen to have more input from the community. I mean, the project is, as we see it, is very much about helping bring the community together.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a lot of smaller towns in our area, but it often feels like we've got a lot of silos.
Yes.
And we want to help improve the communications.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
right,
a lovely
across
thing.
Our whole community.
Lovely thing about Waterwheel having the Waterwheel Hub, that hub space, and obviously the Connect 3799 again, bring those groups together to celebrate and support each other in a shared purpose and interest.
Yep.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mike.
So again, Monday to Sunday, 7 days a week, opens at 10 till 4. So pop in. It's a great space. Always got some amazing art there. Great for a little present for a family friend. Great place to shop and support local artists too. And we'll hopefully come back again maybe the second half this year and see how things are tracking.
It's a great place to get gifts if you've got visitors coming.
I do it very often too. Right, thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers.
there's something on my mind. And the tune can be sung and the words all rhyme. Don't say much, well it won't offend. If you sing it, it's cool and live. I'll send you home, never knowing what you're growing. Think you're growing your own weed. Good Lord! Let me hear that, let me hear that. Cause you can help us swing. Stop your drinking, cause you can no less need. Sing it out.
And welcome back to the Council's Connection Show with Michael Goodrich from Yarra Ranges Council, your local community development officer for the Upper Yarra. Lovely to speak to John and hear all about the Warburton Water Wheel. Again, if you want to find out more, go down to Warburton Water Wheel Monday to Sunday, 10 to 4, 7 days a week, or jump in your browser and search Warburton Water Wheel to find out more. An amazing community-led initiative that's been going for decades and decades to come as well. Our next guest is I popped out to the Sebel Community House, had a chat to Maria and Stacey from the Sebel Community House, hear about what they're up to and happening as well. So a little recording from our conversation yesterday, so we'll hear about all of that right now. The Sebel Community House in the Sebel Community Hall with Maria from the Sebel Community House. Maria, what's your connection to the Sebel Community House?
My connection to the Community House started when my mother was diagnosed with dementia and I wanted to start a carers group that care for people with dementia. And I went everywhere and sundry and couldn't really get any help. Turned up at the Community House, spoke to one of the politicians at the time, and it took a year before I got an answer back. But the group started, went for 6 years.
Yes.
And without that group that kept my sanity, it was on a Tuesday afternoon between 1 and 3. I don't think I would have been as much help to my mother as I was, and for my own sanity.
Yeah, particularly if you're looking for somebody you're caring for, a family member, where all of a sudden you're a carer.
Exactly.
And dementia is such a complex disease that having that support to talk to, but I think knowing how to support that person and
just knowing how to verbalise things with the person with dementia and not freak out when they say things that is unexpected and you just don't know how to handle it.
Yes.
And also learning about the services that are out there, which I obviously had no concept about, and also listening to other people in the group of what they were going through with their husbands, mothers, fathers, sons, and so on. I appreciate the community house so much for that. And then, of course, I got involved with volunteering. I got involved with what else can I do rather than just doing this. And that's how it all became. And then I was asked, would you like to come onto the committee? And I thought, I don't know, should I, shouldn't I? Yes. and then I've been on the committee now for, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yes.
And I think that's also given me now even more scope to be able to, not just the volunteering side of it, but to actually hands-on, and you can see what the community house is there for. And we're here for the community to help.
Yes.
That's the whole concept of it. Mm. You're not just here as an umbrella of, we're here. If you can't get information, if you can't get help, or you're finding it too difficult to navigate, please just walk in. We're very friendly here.
Very friendly.
Just walk in and just ask.
Yeah.
And if we can't help you, we certainly will be able to point you in the right direction to get help.
Yeah.
So that is the whole basis of the community house. We're here for the community.
And some people might have heard about community house before and still might not have. So somebody who's never heard about a community house or never heard about several community house, can you give us a bit of a description of what it's like to walk in the door of the Sebel Community House? What does it feel like when
well,
you come into this
as
door?
As I say, we're very friendly here. We're very welcoming. I think it's a place that you could use as a refuge in the sense that you could just come, have a cup of tea, have a chat.
Yeah.
If you feel down and you think, oh, God, where can I go? Just, and let's face it, it's not that easy to go. You can go into a cafe, sit down on your own.
Yeah.
But you can come here and have a chat with us.
Yep, absolutely.
And if we can be of any service, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and for Sebel too, because you don't have a local library, so...
No, we don't have...
We have a place you can pop in and have a... We'll just do Stacey soon as well, and volunteers, when you walk through the doors, you greet with this beautiful, friendly smile.
Exactly.
A tea and yeah, a chat.
Exactly.
You don't have to be here for a program or an activity.
No, you don't have to be here for a program. You can just walk in.
Yeah.
And I think that we want to get out into the community. That's what we're here for. We really want to help in any way that we can.
Yeah. I think mostly too, like last, always, but most of the last few years, we talk about third places, your home and a third place where you can go in the community where you feel welcome and can be there and meet others and build some friendships, build some connections.
I think that's so important.
And volunteering to contribute
too. And we always need volunteers. That's a given. But just, I think, after COVID, a lot of people are so nervous to get out of their homes.
Yes.
And I sincerely believe that the community house being there has helped a lot of people. And we know that for a fact with different people that have walked through the door.
Yes.
That were just too frightened. And yet they've become a member of the community house. They've chosen to be here. And it's absolutely stunning. And for all the seniors, or not even seniors, but if you want to come for our seniors' lunch on the second Tuesday of every month, please come.
Yes.
We have a lot of fun.
Open door, very
open
welcome.
Open door. And I'm here.
Yes, beautiful Stay meal.
Absolutely beautiful yeah. meal. And conversation. And that's more important than the meal.
Absolutely.
In many ways.
Food for the soul. And I like when you mentioned COVID years, Mel, because it's been almost 5 years or so, which feels like so far away, but so recent too. But the Sebel Community House was incredible at that time because traditionally you were having programs on site and you were here and a cup of tea and all of a sudden all that stopped.
Yes.
And the Sebel House with Vicky there and the committee of volunteers
yes.
were so responsive to that and jumped online and were calling
yep.
people on the phone, checking
yes.
in. You're doing bingo online. So yep. really trying to make sure and maintain people's sense of connection, community
Absolutely.
And friendships to navigate the screens and all the online stuff that's happening, but also just that really practical, we'll call up and have a, say hello and chat with you. And it was amazing to see what the community house volunteers and the staff did then as well, and the committee.
And the community.
And yeah. the community really building that sense of Sebel. And you're here, and although you might be going through COVID and you're at home and you can't go out as much, you can still make a phone call to somebody locally and have a chat.
That's exactly true. And that's exactly what happened with me from the council.
Yes.
And they would ring me every week. We'd have a chat for 10, 15 minutes. It was absolutely beautiful to think that another human being was interested in ringing me to talk through COVID. And that's, I think, we used to have our meetings for the community house online.
Yes.
We tried very hard to keep connected during COVID. And I think that connection now has carried through with people that have did programs online and then came to the community house after everything reopened.
Yes.
And I think that really opened people's eyes to what the community house does.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. The community house does so many things.
Yeah.
And so well connected to community. You've got the play groups here, community dinner, meals as well. We've got a food pantry and all your regular programs too. So much on. We'll talk to Stacey soon about what's happening this term. But for you, if yet somebody hadn't heard about community house and was curious about popping in, what would you say to them about where you are now? Because you've just relocated as well to a new site.
I spruik it all the time.
Yes.
I'm around the community. I'm relatively well known. And I always say, go to the community house.
Yeah.
We'll help you. If we can't help you, we'll direct you in the right way. So I just want people to understand that they don't have to feel apprehensive. They just need to walk through the door. And I understand that's difficult for a lot of folk. But if you can just walk through the door and you'll be welcome and then you'll be back.
Yes.
You'll be
volunteer
back.
And
you'll volunteer.
The committee.
Oh,
no, no.
We don't.
But I think it's lovely to hear that you first reach out based on a need of like you wanted some support with your as a carer's role, but then found out these people place exists and
exactly.
They wanted to volunteer and be part of that community and part of this place.
I think it's very important for people in this day and age to be connected with community because we seem to be perhaps not as connected as we may have been years ago.
Yeah.
And true. I think it's very important to have that.
Such strong roles for community houses and organisations, community groups and organisations in local places because people sometimes live in a place, but they'll work elsewhere. And so they're time commuting and back and forth and they sometimes miss that local connection. So community
they
house,
do. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place to feel like I know my community, I get to meet my neighbours.
Exactly. And that's very important.
And I'll see them in the supermarket later on and I'll pump them here.
And that's exactly what happens because you see people in the supermarket or you see them on the street or and you start that connection, you can say hello, you don't have to feel awkward about anything.
No.
And then that's how it starts.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you what you want to do with it. We couldn't care. We just want you to be part of it, to come here, to feel comfortable.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Maria, for sharing your story.
Thank you,
lovely
Michael.
To hear. And I'm going to jump and have a chat with Stacey now and hear about what's happening at the 7th New House this term. Hi, Stacey.
Hello.
You've had a big year so far at the 7th New House. And tell us a bit about what this last month has looked like for Seville Community House.
Yeah, we've moved, which has been really exciting. So the house has been located for the last 40 years at the Seville Primary School, but over the last month we've moved our primary location to the Seville Hall on the Warburton Highway, right next to the church.
You can't miss it. You're driving into Seville on the way to Warburton and there on your right. Beautiful building, but not well now. It's the home.
Yes.
The Seville Community House.
Temporarily.
Yes.
Because we will be moving again once our new building is finished.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a building built for us together with all the sporting clubs in Seville. So we're moving into the community precincts.
Yeah.
Located at the footy and cricket grounds.
Yep.
So that's built.
I know there's old pavilions there, the tennis club and the football club, netball club and they're now going to have one big share facility where you all live together. Mm. All the community groups.
Huge community hub. So
yes.
It'll be very exciting.
Watch that space.
Yeah. But until then, we'll be working out of the community hall. Yeah. So we moved in and it's pretty exciting. There's lots of space. We can do some much bigger programs than we could before. The house at the primary school was a lovely location and it served us well for many years.
40 years. But it was the headmaster's
house. Headmaster's house.
The primary school was made in a house, the bedroom, a kitchen and a bathroom. Now it's a community house.
Yes.
So like you made it work for 40 years, but to expand and become a bit more open space is beautiful.
Some of the spaces were a little bit small for some groups. So we'll definitely be able to hold some larger programs at the hall, which mm-hmm. will be very nice for us for this next transition period.
Yes, yeah. And so what's on this term, the Seville Community House?
Yeah, so we have all of our regular programs running. We've got lots of play groups. We've got arts and craft classes. We've got the community lunch that Maria was talking about, which is always a big hit. We've got tech hub. We've got yoga class. We've got a new walking group starting. And then we've also got some really exciting programs for people that are maybe looking for their group, that are feeling a little bit isolated and just wanting to find a space for themselves. So actually this afternoon, we've got a group starting for people that have just recently retired and are not sure what to do with all this time that they've got now that they've stopped working.
Yes.
So once a fortnight, we've got a group meeting who are just going to trial some retirement activities.
Yeah.
Do some outings, do some activities, have some speakers, just try some different things and see what works for them. And then we've also got a group for primary school kids who are a little bit maybe socially anxious. They're maybe not part of a sporting group. They're not quite sure where they're fitting socially.
Yeah.
So we're running a group for kids and their parents to hang out and connect and see if they can develop just a few social skills that they might be missing and make some friends along the way.
Yeah. Which is wonderful too, because I think sporting clubs are great.
Yeah.
But not everyone's into that sport.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to find, especially this year in several areas, it's hard to find that activity that's like without a ball. Like
that's
you're just like,
it.
I want to have an activity, I want to do some social stuff
yep.
as a child, but unless I'm playing sport, that's hard to find. So having this option to go, we can do some other stuff that's not so sport orientated.
Yeah. And if maybe the kids in your class, they might be fine and you might get along well, but they might not be your best friend. Or the parents might not get along, so you haven't had the chance to have a huge amount of play dates or something like that. So this just gives a chance for some different families to come together, maybe create some new social connections that gives everyone a chance to just build some new relationships.
Yeah.
And then we've also got a series of talks or workshops coming up for people with chronic illnesses to get some information, but again, also hopefully create some social spaces for those people where they can connect and share some information, just like Maria was talking about before with her mum and that support group around dementia. This might give a space for people with different chronic illnesses, to just share some insights and some stories around how they're coping with their own illnesses. And,
yeah.
So those are some things that we've got coming up.
Just a few little things.
Just a few things. We just sprinkle some things around and see how it goes.
But something for everyone.
Hopefully, that's the idea.
And so that's a lot you've just spoken about too, and a lot to remember. But you don't have to remember any of that because you can jump onto your Facebook
or
website or phone calls.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to share where people can find out more information about the Seville Community House.
Yeah. So our website absolutely has all the information. It has sevillecomhouse.org.au. Or we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. And to be honest, I don't know what the handles are, but Seville Community House.
Search Seville Community House.
Search Seville Community House and you'll find it.
Yeah.
Or you can reach out to us, our phone number, 5964-3987. Or pop in, as Maria said.
Yes.
We're happy for you to pop in, come have a cup of tea with us, come have a chat, see what it's like here. And just come hang out.
Yep.
We're pretty friendly. Don't come on a Thursday because we're not here.
Yes, there you go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, lovely. People might know Seville Hall.
Yeah.
Been have been inside it, potentially. Well, I've only been here for an event. So pop on down. You can see what
like.
Space looks like now as well.
And
for the programs.
We've got a lovely community pantry running on the outside of the hall. So there's lots of bread and veggies and stuff that's restocked almost every day. So if you're in need of a little bit of extra support, grab some food.
Yeah. And people might not be aware of what a community pantry is or how it works. Explain what it is and how that works.
Yeah, of course. So our community pantry, we get donations from a couple of local supermarkets and a local bakery. And we've got a lovely dedicated team of volunteers who pick up those donations at the moment 5 or 6 days a week.
Yes.
And they bring the donation of food to the pantry and restock it, make sure that everything is still good, that the food hasn't gone spoiled or anything, wipe down all the shelves, make sure it's all looking nice. And then for us, the pantry is just outside the building, so it's accessible all the time.
Yep.
It's not staffed. You don't need to interact with anyone. You're welcome to. You're welcome to pop in and say hello to us. But it's just there for you to help yourself to anything that's there. So whether it's for need, you know, that you're struggling a little bit, that your grocery bill hasn't stretched quite as far, or because you don't like the idea of food going to waste and you're driving past and that it's there, you're welcome to just pop in and grab a loaf of bread or a head of lettuce or whatever it is just to stop that food going into landfill.
Yeah. And people want to... You got a Facebook page?
Yes, so we have a Facebook page for the community house, and we also have a separate one for the community pantry. So the volunteers post regularly when the pantry is restocked,
yes.
So that you can see when there's new fresh food in there as well.
Yep, just walking away, wherever you're passing by, you can check it out and pop on down whenever you like.
Yeah,
and grab something and grab the food.
8 o'clock on a Saturday night if you want.
Yep,
it's there, and you can take it whatever you want.